Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Don't do anything that will stumble your brother. Don't do anything that's going to offend them, make them weak. Again, if we're walking in love, we're going to be careful about that. We're not going to be concerned primarily about ourselves. We're going to be more concerned for the other person.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 13, in a message titled, Receiving One Another. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
The point is, you know, there's this tendency to just, you know, we see, you know, maybe we see on YouTube, we see a video clip of somebody, or we, you know, heard them say something in a 3-second little, audio blurb, or somebody else had said something about this person, and then we take that on board, and then we start spreading it, and we don't realize what we're doing, and all the while, this is a servant of God, and God's at work at this person's life. And God's bringing them along. And, you know, one of the things that's helped me over the years to, you know, kind of mellow in that area is to just look back at my own life and think of all the mercy God's had on me and all that he's done to, you know, patiently endure with me over the years and to bring me into more maturity. I've done a lot of stupid things. I've said some stupid things. And I look back and I think, thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on me. And so this is something that we just have to be very, very careful about, because these are the servants of the Lord. And they might not be doing it the way we think they ought to do it. They might have a different methodology, but that's okay. That's between them and God. God is able to make them stand. God is able to sort them out as they need sorting. And so, Paul goes on. He says, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Now, remember, the context here is Jewish, Gentile. And so the dietary issues would be a factor there. And then the reference to the days here. The Jews would have been big on days. They would have been big on the Sabbath day. They would have been big on the festival days. And they would esteem these days as very special and holy days. Many of the Gentiles wouldn't have that conviction. So inevitably, the Jewish believer would stand in judgment of the Gentile believer. Well, they're not respecting the Sabbath, or they're not honoring this festival day. Paul says, look, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Each person needs to be fully convinced in their own mind. You see, there are things that are personal between the believer and God. And this is something that's important to know. Some people are going to have freedom to do certain things that other people aren't. And it's just a thing between the Lord and those people. And we have to be careful not to jump in the middle and try to, you know, put forth our opinion as, well, this is the right perspective on this thing, because we don't know. The Lord might have spoken something to this person, and that's between them and God. That's what Paul's talking about here. Let everyone be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. So Paul is saying, look, we're in the body of Christ. And it's not about us. It's about the Lord. It's about living for the Lord. And it's about pleasing the Lord. That's the important thing. Everybody needs to make sure they're pleasing the Lord. And instead of standing in judgment of everybody else, I need to be asking myself the question, am I pleasing the Lord? You know, if we think about it, I got enough of my own problems to worry about instead of trying to sort out everybody else's issues. These folks today that are involved in what they call the discernment ministries, the discernment ministries are basically just excuses to judge people. And they sit around and they harshly judge other Christians. And I wonder if they ever think, you know, that with the measure you judge, it will be measured back to you. Don't you have any problems in your own life that you might spend a little time focusing on instead of trying to pull the splinter out of everybody else's eye when you got a plank in your own? That's what Jesus said. So we've got to be careful. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and rose and lived again that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. So here Paul is reminding us of this sobering reality. We're all busy judging each other. Paul says, don't you realize that you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ yourself? So again, we need to be careful when it comes to this. We don't know much of the time all of the details. And much of the time, we're passing false judgments. Or we're condemning people over things that they have long since repented of. I was talking to a couple of friends today, and a certain preacher came up who had a reputation for being the cussing pastor. And not a good reputation, obviously. And so, you know, somebody mentioned that to me, and I said, well, you know, that was the case about 10 years ago. But they've long since repented of that. They've long since publicly confessed that that was absolutely stupid and idiotic. And thank God that he had mercy on them. And there's been a real effort in this person's life to grow, and a real growth and humility. But, you know, those kinds of things, so often, they stick with people, and they continue to judge people over things that they might have done decades ago and repented of decades ago. But they just heard about it. Oh yeah, I heard that they did this. Well, that was a long time ago. So you see, really, the way to avoid getting into trouble in that area is just to determine, you know, I'm not going to worry about judging. That's not my job anyway. I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, I need to focus on myself. Instead of judging others, I got to remember, I've got my own day of judgment. Now, just for clarification, the judgment seat of Christ, it's not a place where it will be determined whether I go to heaven or hell. That's already been determined here and now through our faith in Christ. But the judgment seat of Christ is a place where we're going to be judged for the works that we've done as Christians. And we're going to receive a reward if we've been faithful, and we're going to not receive a reward and maybe something else if we've been unfaithful or disobedient or whatever the case might be.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you that you can connect with Pastor Brian anytime through all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com, where you can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website, and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now, let's continue with today's message.
So Paul says, since this is the case, since each will give an account of himself to God, let's not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus, Paul says, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, again, remember in the context, it was, to a large degree, it was a Jew-Gentile thing. Not entirely, but probably primarily, that was it. And the Gentiles would eat foods that had been formally sacrificed to idols, and to them that was just what they did. That was part of their culture, their upbringing, their life. They didn't think anything about it. Some of these Jews had a more sensitive conscience, and they wouldn't want to risk that, and in some cases they would just forego meat, not only because it might have been offered to an idol, but say if it wasn't properly bled, it wasn't kosher, they would just say, well, you know, they would become vegetarians. And some were callous toward their sensitive conscience and disregarded the possibility of perhaps stumbling them and just would say, well, hey, you know, that's their problem. They need to grow up. I've got liberty. And so I'm not going to let their weak and feeble conscience, I'm not going to let that infringe upon my freedoms. Paul's saying, that's not right, because that's not love. Love is willing to say, you know, I've got the freedom to do this, but because it might possibly become a stumbling block to somebody else, I'm going to forego that freedom. Now, we don't have the issue of, we don't have the dietary issues, obviously, for the most part. We don't have that, unless you maybe have come from a Seventh-day Adventist background or, you know, maybe a Jewish background or even a Muslim background, something like that. But, you know, for the most part, these aren't issues that we so much deal with today. But there are other things that, although they're not sinful in and of themselves, some people might have a little bit of a tender conscience or a weak conscience in regard to some things. And those who are stronger in their conscience and more established in grace need to be sensitive to those other people. So there might be things that they just don't feel that they have the freedom to do. We're not to chide them over that. We're not to badger them. We're not to ridicule them or mock them or try to entice them. Come on, you know, that's ridiculous. That's foolish. You know, you can do that. No, we're to respect that and just to trust that that's something that the Lord will work out in time. And so Paul is saying, if your brother is grieved because of your food or something that you're doing, you're no longer walking in love. And this is powerful here. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Paul is saying here that an insensitive exercise of liberty could potentially destroy somebody. Now, I've heard stories about people who have been severely stumbled through somebody else's liberty in regard to alcohol or, you know, those kinds of things that we sometimes, you know, struggle with as Christians. You know, what just exactly where should a Christian land on this particular issue? And so all of that to say, it's just something that we need to be sensitive about. It's something that we need to be wise about. The Bible doesn't forbid Christians to drink alcohol. And even here, the drinking, when we read about drinking here, we think of drinking in the sense of drinking and drunkenness, but that's not really the context. The drinking here had more to do with the idolatrous systems that it was all part of the festivities, the food and the drink. It was all part of the idolatrous temple activity. So it was, Paul's not even so much addressing the use of alcohol versus not the use of alcohol here. But of course, the Bible does address that. The Bible tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. But there are other places where we find that there's permission to drink. But these are still, among Christians, they're still controversial, aren't they? There's some Christians that have an absolute liberty to go to a pub. If you're British or Irish, you have no problem doing that. If you're European, you have no problem sitting down and having a glass of wine with dinner. Many American Christians, for them, that's a somewhat of a taboo, that's somewhat of a stumbling block. How could they be doing that? So, again, what we have to be is sensitive to the possibility of stumbling other people. And we don't want to do that. So if I have to forego this liberty, then it's not a big deal. Because as Paul said, the kingdom of God is not about food and drink. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If I'm thinking the kingdom of God is all about this liberty that I have, and I'm going to hold on to and express this liberty regardless of the outcome, and doesn't matter to me how it affects somebody else, then I'm missing the whole point of the kingdom of God. It's not about my freedom to exercise my liberties. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. So you see what Paul's saying is, look, don't stir up unnecessary strife or contention over these things. If you have freedom, you know, fine. But don't make a big deal about it. And if you don't have freedom, okay. But you don't make a big deal about it either. The person without the freedom looks at the person with the freedom and says, ah, they're not really a good Christian. Look at that. No good Christian would do that. So it goes both ways. The weak judge the strong, and the strong hold the weak in contempt. Paul says, don't do that. We're not to be like that. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. These are strong words that Paul's using. Destroy the work of God. That's heavy stuff to think that we might potentially, through a careless exercise of liberty, stumble somebody to the point where they turn away and go back into sin. We wouldn't want to be guilty of that. So we have to be sensitive. We have to be careful. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. So that's the evil. The evil is to offend. And the idea is to knowingly do it. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. So that's the rule. Don't do anything that will stumble your brother. Don't do anything that's going to offend them, make them weak. Again, if we're walking in love, we're going to be careful about that. We're not going to be concerned primarily about ourselves. We're going to be more concerned for the other person. So, Paul says, do you have faith? Do you have faith to freely do this particular thing? That's what he's referring to. Do you have faith? He says, have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. This is a good position. Do you have faith? Do you have liberty? Do you have that freedom to do that particular thing? And again, let me just clarify, we're not talking about sin. Nobody has freedom to sin. But we're talking about those kinds of things that some people with a weaker conscience, some people with a lack of understanding of grace, some people would look at it and say, oh, that's, there's, you know, they don't feel good about it. That's the kind of stuff that he's talking about. He's obviously not, there's no liberty to sin ever. So do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. He's saying this, do not parade or impose your personal liberties on others. Keep them between you and God. You have faith? Have it to yourself before God. You have freedom to do a certain thing? Fine. Happy is the one who is not condemned in what he approves. Enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Just don't parade it. Do it privately. Leave it between you and the Lord so it doesn't become the stumbling block to someone else. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now, when Paul says he who doubts is condemned, he's more than likely saying they are condemned by their conscience rather than saying they are condemned by God. It's the conscience that he's talking about condemning. You know, somebody does something they don't totally have, they're not totally convinced that they're free to do it. So they do it, and then what happens? Oh, they just, their conscience just torments them. And they go into this state of, they're just condemned over having done that thing. It wasn't a big thing. It wasn't a sinful thing. It wasn't anything to have that kind of anxiety over, but because of the weak conscience, that's the experience they have. But here's the interesting twist on it. Paul says, he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not of faith is sin. So it can become sin to go against the conscience. This is why the strong should never entice the weaker to go against their conscience. This is why the strong should just be content to say, well, if that's your conviction, I understand that, and God bless you. And you can pray for them if you like, that God will grow them beyond that. But it's not our job to come down on them, to criticize them over that, or to try to persuade them to go against their conscience. Because, of course, there's always the possibility that it's through the conscience that God is actually limiting somebody's activity. Not everybody has the same freedoms. Some people that have a certain past will be limited in their freedom in areas because those things could potentially throw them back into the sinful habits that they were brought out of.
For the month of May, Back to Basics Radio is offering a DVD collection titled Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. This DVD studies the richness of the Hebrew culture and homeland, from their feast to their covenants with God, from the Ark of the Covenant to the Temple Mount, from the wilderness to the Promised Land, as Chuck Smith tours 14 different locations in Israel. You'll be fascinated as Pastor Chuck tours the ancient city of Joppa, Caesarea, the Sea of Galilee, Bethlehem, and the sites surrounding Jerusalem, such as the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, the Temple Steps, the Upper Room, and the Garden Tomb. We encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order this DVD set, Israel on Location with Chuck Smith. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you the Israel on Location with Chuck Smith DVD set as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.